Tonight we're going to talk about how it's God's will for you to be healed. Now it is really, I'm just going to be honest with you, it's going to be impossible for you to be healed until you know it's God's will for you to be healed. So out of everything we're going to talk about in the next 4 weeks, this could be the most important thing. Because even if you don't understand how faith works, if you know it's God's will for you to be healed, you can receive healing. You know, you may not be proficient at it, you know, we might not be perfect at it, but you can receive some healing, not even understanding how the faith process works. I mean, the people in the Bible, some of them understood faith, like the centurion that came to Jesus, he understood how faith worked, and Jesus said he had great faith. But other people just came, and they were pretty ignorant of anything to do with faith, but they just knew that he could give me some healing if I come to him, and I heard he healed everybody else, he might as well heal me. And so really, knowing that God's will is for you to be healed is the best and biggest and greatest thing you can know about healing. So I thought we'd start there. Hallelujah. Now, God's plan for man's health. From the beginning, God's intent has been for man to be well. And I know I talk about this all the time, but I can't stress enough. If you want to know what God intended for man's life to be like, we have to look and see how God created man to be. I'm not going to take you back to the book of Genesis tonight, but you should know, you should have read the first few chapters of the book of Genesis several times by now. And you should know that when God created man, he created him in a state of perfectness. And there was not any sickness, there was no disease, no infirmity, no ailment of any kind in the Garden of Eden. I don't think Adam even hit his funny bone and made it hurt. I think that he didn't know pain. He didn't know sickness. He didn't know any malfunction. His hair didn't turn gray and it didn't fall out. Not only that, he didn't have, you know, allergies to half the plants in the garden. And he didn't have a bad cough. And he didn't have, you know, there weren't certain fruits that he couldn't eat too much of because his sugar might get too high because he had diabetes. No, Adam was whole. Eve didn't have arthritis. Adam and Eve were whole and well. They did not know sickness. They did not know pain. They had no ailment, no infirmity. Adam never said, "Oh, my ailing back," or whatever it is. None of that talk ever happened in the garden before the serpent came slithering in. Because there was no sickness, there was no disease in the garden. Y'all believe that tonight? Now, you know, if nothing else, if we just shut the book and went home, right there, you should know that God's will for man is to be well. That's enough for me right there. But we're not going to. I'm going to spend another hour on it. But that should be enough for you right there. You should just be able to recognize if that's the way God made man, it must have been his intention. You know, we give God credit for being a little more complicated than he really is. He didn't like make man one way and then like really meant for him to be sick and suffering. And so he finagled a way to make him sick. No, he made him the way he wanted him. God does it right the first time. And he did it right when he made man. Praise God, he made him right. Adam was created healthy and whole. Now here's another point that should just be very obvious to all of us. Man was never sick until after he sinned. Now turn over to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read a scripture to you over there. Man was never sick until after he sinned. Sickness was not in the garden. There's no record of death of any sort or kind in the Garden of Eden until after. Well, in fact, it was never in the Garden of Eden because you couldn't get back in after Adam sinned. But from that point forward, man sinned forward is when we discovered sickness coming on mankind. That's when the history of sickness and death, you know, disease that led to death started in the earth. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, it says this, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." The Bible says in another scripture, it says, "The wages of sin, the payoff for sin is what? Death." Well, death is the ultimate manifestation of sickness. If you get sick bad enough, long enough, you'll be dead. And sickness and death go together. And y'all remember in the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam, he said, "If you eat of this fruit in that day, you'll surely die." Well, we know from, you know, studying the Bible that he didn't die at that moment physically. He died at that moment spiritually. But what did happen to him is his body began to die. Now, I think it's recorded that Adam lived how long? 930 years? So he continued to live in his body, but from that moment that he sinned, his body began to die. Now see, man was created for his cells to reproduce, to replenish themselves. Your body wasn't made to wear out. Your body was made to live and last forever until that moment that sin came. And when sin came, death came as a result of sin. And sickness and disease are all a manifestation of death. They all lead to death. And so all of that came as a result of sin. And it says right here, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from that law of sin and death. When did the law of sin and death come into existence, as far as mankind was concerned? When Adam sinned, that's when the law of sin and death took hold in the earth. And it didn't just affect Adam, it affected the earth. That's when in the animal kingdom, and that's when everything that was under the dominion of man began to die because of the sin that Adam committed. Well, Adam had lived under the law of life up until the point that he sinned. But when he sinned, he opened wide the door for death. Adam's cells begin to die off and not replace themselves. Sickness came on man and death eventually followed. Now, all sickness and disease came as a result of man's sin. Now, sickness is a perversion of the health that God gave man. The only thing the devil has ever done is taken what God made and messed it up. That's what he does. He takes what God, obedience, a principle that God instituted, and he messes it up and we get disobedience. He takes something like, you know, health, and he perverts it, and we get sickness. Some sickness, this just shows you how perverted the devil is and how perverted sickness is. Some sickness is a result of your own body turning against itself. Some cells in your body turning against other cells. Doesn't that sound like the devil? That sounds like strife in the body. That's the devil manifesting himself. I don't see how any of this could ever be associated with something that God authored. It has nothing to do with anything God ever authored. The Bible says plainly that God's not the author of confusion. Well, it's confusion when one part of your body's fighting another part of your body. That's confusion. God has nothing to do with that sort of thing. That all came out of man falling under the dominion of Satan, and Satan perverting and abusing and destroying mankind, perverting what God had meant for good. Now, thank God for God, because God made a covenant with Abraham and his seed, and he provided for their physical healing in that covenant. Now, over in Exodus, God made a wonderful statement there. Exodus chapter 15, he presents himself. Really, what happened is after Adam fell, he died spiritually, he was cut off from God, and for a good period of time, God was separated from mankind. He got a man named Noah, knew God in a limited measure, and God used him and to preserve mankind. But God didn't have a lot of influence in the earth until he met up with a man named Abraham. In fact, he just had to introduce himself to Abraham. Y'all remember when he met up with Moses? Moses wanted to know who to tell Pharaoh had sent him. Do y'all remember that? They didn't know God then like me and you have knowledge of him. You know, even people that don't know God today personally, they know a lot about him. But in these Old Testament days, they didn't necessarily know. I'm talking about before Abraham, even Moses' day. The world wasn't full of people who knew about God. They had a lot of gods, but none of them were the Most High God. But anyway, what happened is he came to Abraham and to the children of Israel. In this case, he's talking to Moses, and he's explaining to Moses who he is. He's having to reintroduce himself into the earth because no one had known him since Adam. And so he said here in 15, verse 26, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals thee." I am the Lord who heals you, who healeth thee. I'm the healer. I'm your healer. That's who I am. If you want to know who I am, I'm going to just let you know today. I'm the one who heals you. I'm the one you come to when you're sick. I'm your great physician. I'm the one who fixes all the problems in your body and straightens things out for you. That's who I am. I'm your healer. Look to me to heal you. And then he told him in Exodus 23:25, this is a wonderful scripture. This is a good scripture for when you're saying your blessing. This is a great, you know, blessing over your food scripture. Exodus 23:25. "So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you." That's good to know. He'll take sickness away from the midst of you. So a good practice would be every time you're going to eat, just say, well, thank you, God, that you bless this bread and this water, or whatever it might be for you. It's probably a moon pie and Dr. Pepper. But, you know, that you bless this and you take sickness away from the midst of me. Thank you for doing that. Hallelujah. God is great. God is good. He takes sickness away from our midst. Hallelujah. And if you study through the Old Testament, which we're going to do another night, you'll see that it's filled with God's promises for health and for long life. Now, Jesus provided healing and redemption. What I want you to see in what I just said is this. These people were under a very limited covenant in comparison to us, but yet that limited covenant that they had, people who were not born again, who were separated from God by sin, who had to go to the temple or, you know, and offer sacrifice, you know, blood sacrifice, goats and sheep and cows. They had to go and do that to be cleansed of sin. Those people, God provided healing for them. Now, what do you think we must have under a new covenant, a better covenant with better promises? Y'all think we would have healing? Yeah, we have healing too. He provided healing for us in redemption. God's will was to restore to man, was to restore man to everything that Adam had been through his redemptive plan. Now, look over in Isaiah 53. And if you've never studied Isaiah 53, these next 4 weeks would be a wonderful time for you to study Isaiah 53. So you can understand what happened at Calvary. Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm just going to read verses 4 and 5, but you should study the whole thing. Because what we're reading here in Isaiah is really a vision that Isaiah had. Isaiah was a prophet of the Lord, and Isaiah had a word of wisdom concerning the future. And he saw the crucifixion, and he saw really the redemptive plan. He had a glimpse of it, and he wrote that here. And, you know, in Isaiah, it was recorded. And so we can read it. And it says in the New King James, surely, I like that word, surely. I always read without a doubt. You can count on it. He has borne our griefs. Now, in my Bible, that word griefs has a little one beside it. Does anybody else's grief have a little one beside it? Okay, in the set, that means look in the center column and see what it really meant, what they should have put there but didn't have the guts to. Okay, so look in your center column. What does that little one indicate? Sickness. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. The little two says pains. Yet we esteemed him or reckoned him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. What Isaiah is saying here is this. The Messiah is going to pay the price to restore man fully to what God intended him to be. The price he's going to pay by his crucifixion, by the suffering that he endures, is going to pay the price for man. He's not just going to bear man's sins, but he's also, you know, because he was bruised for our iniquities, he also is going to take the chastisement for our peace. He's going to be punished so that we can have peace, wholeness, wellness in every area. And by his stripes, we're going to be healed. And that word healed means physically healed. Now, sometimes you've probably heard people say this. Well, it means that we'll be healed, you know, spiritually. That we'll be talking about spiritual healing. All these scriptures that talk about healing are talking about spiritual healing. Have any of you ever heard that? I've heard people talk about that. Let me tell you something. You and me were not healed spiritually. We were born again. God didn't take our old spirit and just kind of heal it up. We were totally, completely born again. We're new creatures. You're not even the same person you were before you were saved. However, you probably noticed this. The day you were born again, that night when you went to the, you know, bathroom to brush your teeth and looked in the mirror, you had the same body you had the day before. We haven't gotten our new bodies yet. We're going to get a new body. Thank God. We're going to get a new body. But in the meanwhile, there's healing for this old body. So don't abandon it and give up on it. We're getting a new body. But in the meanwhile, he's provided healing and health for this body, the one you're living in right now. Praise God. So Isaiah was seeing all of this. Now I wrote out here what it says in the Amplified. It says, surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. I like that. Weaknesses and distresses. You ever had weakness in your body? Some people have a weak heart. Some people, their pancreas is weak. It doesn't, produce enough insulin. And distresses. You ever had any distress in your body? And carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Hallelujah. We are healed and made whole. Now, if you don't have an Amplified Bible, it's worth buying the Amplified Bible to get that verse. You'll get a bunch of bonus verses too, but it's worth buying it for that one. Praise God. Now, over in Matthew chapter 8, there's a reference by Matthew as he wrote his gospel to what Isaiah said. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus came, as you well know, to fulfill everything that was ever spoken about the coming Messiah, and he fulfilled every bit of it. He came to fulfill every promise God made in the Old Testament. And he fulfilled it, and he brought them to us. He brought all the goodness from the Old Testament, Old Covenant to us, and he left out all the rules and regulations. Praise God. We get all the benefits, all the promises without all the rules and law keeping. And so we get healing, health, and wholeness because of redemption. Now, over in 1 Peter chapter 2, let's find that here. 1 Peter chapter 2. He says a very similar thing to what Isaiah said. The only thing is he's looking back at what happened at Calvary. At 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. How many of you believe tonight that when Jesus was crucified at Calvary on the cross that he paid the price for your sins? Y'all believe that tonight? Are y'all convinced of that? Well, I want you to be just as convinced of the second part of the verse. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, the Greek of this word healed means physically healed. It doesn't mean you were spiritually healed. Again, you can't be spiritually healed. We weren't spiritually healed. We were spiritually born again, made new creations. But we were physically healed by the stripes that he bore. Praise God. Just as he suffered for our sins, Jesus bore our sicknesses so that we could be healed. Now, he exchanged his health and his healing power for our sickness, our weakness, and pain. See, he had no sickness. He had no weakness. There's no record of Jesus suffering physically sickness and weakness and pain in his body. But what he did is he took the help that he bought there at Calvary. He took that and gave it to us. And on him, God put all sickness, all disease was poured out on him. The Bible says that he was marred that you wouldn't have even known it was Jesus to look upon him because of how he looked, how marred up and what was put on him, the way he looked, the way he suffered. All sickness was put on him. He bore the price for every sickness and every disease ever known to mankind. He paid the price for it. You know, wonderful thing about it is this. Every now and then they come up with new diseases, you know, like in the early 80s, they started seeing that people had some problems with their immunity system. And by somewhere in the mid to late 80s, they came up with HIV, and AIDS. And so this seems like it's a new disease. I mean, 40 years ago, people didn't have it that we know of. But, you know, in the years to come, there'll never be a sickness. There'll never be a disease that Jesus didn't pay the price for. His healing power can heal a cold. It can heal diabetes. It can heal, a liver that's not functioning, sclerosis of the liver. It can heal that. It can heal AIDS. It can heal any situation, any infirmity that man would know. Now, because sickness and death came as a result of sin, the same sacrifice that was offered for sin also covered sickness and death. Now tonight, I know, if I went around this room, I know that every person in here is convinced that Jesus bore the price for their sins. But you're going to have to meditate on the fact that he bore the price for your sicknesses and be just as convinced of that if you're going to walk in the help that he has for you. Now, see, what's happened is we've heard a lot of preaching on Jesus bore the price for your sin. Hadn't you heard preaching on that? I mean, you can go all over town and hear that in church after church, but not a whole lot of churches can you hear the same price was paid for your sickness and disease. And so we hadn't had as much teaching on it. How does faith come? By hearing. So we haven't heard as much about it. So our faith isn't as developed in that area. Now, turn over to Galatians, back a few books here, to Galatians chapter 3. Just to see what Jesus has done for us. Because this is the basis. Next week we're going to talk about faith for healing. Well, the basis you're going to receive your healing on is the fact that it was provided for you in redemption. So you're going to have to know all of this to receive your healing. So this is really the basis and the foundation for why you have a right to be healed. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us. Y'all say, has redeemed. Now, even though you may not have made straight A's in English, you probably learned enough in one of your English classes to figure out that has redeemed is past. Not gonna be redeemed one day in the sweet by and by, glory, hallelujah. No, has already redeemed. I like to add words every now and then. Help me. Has already redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the reason he redeemed us is so that the blessing of Abraham, everything good about the old covenant, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He redeemed us from the curse that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, if you'll take a little journey in your Bible back to Deuteronomy 28, you'll see listed in Deuteronomy 28 the curses. The curses of the law. These are the things you're redeemed from. It's really good to read through here. There's some real interesting stuff. I also recommend to you that you get a modern translation like the New Living Bible or maybe the Message isn't in Old Testament, but some newer translation of the Bible or paraphrase and read through here because it like names our modern day words for these things that are described here. It's interesting to see what things you've been redeemed from. Because you're going to find out in a minute you're redeemed from it all. But anyway, you can begin reading in about verse 15, and you start seeing all the things you are redeemed from. And it goes on down all the way to verse 61. And it says this, also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. So whatever you read there, you flip it around. Every sickness and every disease that is mentioned in the book, and then this verse 61, everyone that is not even mentioned in the book, all of those you have been redeemed from. Does that cover your case? is your case covered in that? Yeah, anything that could come on me, like I said, anything now or anything that might ever come up, you've been redeemed from it. It's all covered with the same sacrifice. Now, I want you to just say this. It is God's will for me to be healed today. I want you to believe that tonight. So I'm having you say it. I want you to see that. Now, let's talk about healing in the ministry of Jesus. First of all, turn over to John chapter 5. And we're going to look at some verses here in John. Jesus came for several reasons, but one of the things that Jesus came to earth to do was to show or demonstrate the Father to people. See, like I said, people didn't know God. The reason that you and me have the understanding we have is we have the benefit of all the things that God has shown, all the things all the ways he's manifested himself in the past. I mean, we can read what he said to Moses. We can read what he said to Abraham. We can read what he said through the, prophets. We can read the four gospels and get a good picture of God there. We can even read the book of Acts and we can read through the revelation of Paul and see who God is and what he's done. Is that true? But these people didn't necessarily have that. They just had the old covenant and just some books here and there. They didn't have the benefit of all the knowledge that you and I have. But Jesus came, verse 19 of chapter 5 says this, Jesus answered and he said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, But what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Jesus came and expressed what the Father was like. He came and said, I'm doing what the Father's doing. I'm showing you what the Father would do if he was here. I'm doing whatever the Father's like. You can know what he's like by looking at me. In fact, in John chapter 5, verse 30, he said, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. He came to reveal the will of the Father. John chapter 6, verse 38 says this, For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He came to do the will of the Father. And so let me ask you this. If Jesus came to do the will of the Father, and he says this several times in the book of John, if he came to do the will of the Father, let me just ask you this. When he did something, it's recorded, you know, something that we can see recorded here in the Gospels. If he did something, do you suppose that was the will of the Father? Yes. He came to do the will of the Father. That was his assignment, to come and show us, reveal to us the Father. Well, wouldn't you think then that if he did something, we could say, hey, that must have been the will of the Father. That's what he was here doing. Can you separate what Jesus did from the will of the Father? You can't? You can't separate what Jesus did from the will of the Father? Are you sure? You cannot separate what Jesus did from the will of the Father. No, they cannot be separated. He came to do the will of the Father. And just as much as just like Jesus demonstrated, whatever he did, whatever he said, whatever he, you know, however he acted, you could look at that and plainly say that's the way the Father would act if he were here. Because that's the will of the Father. He came to do the will of the Father. Well, let's read it. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. I must work the works of him who sent me. Isn't that interesting? He called healing and working miracles. He called all of that the work of the Father. He was here doing the works of him who sent him. He was on assignment from God doing the Father's business. So, you know, that's just always a truth that I've embraced for a long time in my life. If I can find where Jesus ever said it, where Jesus ever did it, I know for sure it was the will of the Father. If Jesus ever made it happen, I know God would will for it to happen. So did Jesus heal people? Well, healing people must be the will of the Father. Did Jesus ever rebuke sickness and disease? Well, it must be the will of the Father to rebuke sickness and disease. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus ever put sickness on any of his disciples to teach them something? Are y'all sure? Y'all read the Bible?
Yes.
There's never a time he called one of them in and said, James, Peter, Andrew, you know, you guys have been getting a little rowdy and y'all need to learn a few lessons. You're going to have a terrible, terrible headache and a great fever is going to come upon you and you're almost going to die. Did he ever say that? But you're going to make it through just barely and you're going to really learn from this. No, he never said that. Some preachers preach like he did, but he didn't. I wish preachers would read the Bible. All right, John chapter 10. Jesus came to give man the opportunity to enjoy the abundant life. You know verse 10 of John 10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, to kill and destroy. I have come. It must be the will of the Father. He came to do the Father's will. I have come. The Father sent me that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, I know we talk a lot about the abundant life here at the Good News Church, but the reason we talk about it is because Jesus came to give us the abundant life. So if that was the gift he came bearing, we might as well talk about it. Must be pretty good stuff. And it means a life that's overflowing with good things. Now, let me ask you a question. Have y'all ever encountered a sickness that was just a real good thing? How many of you ever have ever just hurt really bad and been in awful pain and thought, hey, this is a good thing? Huh? You ever had that? But let me ask you this. How many of you have lived a day pain-free? You lived a week where there was no sickness or disease in your body. You were strong and you could breathe full and deep and you could just, you know, leap like a gazelle. You ever had that? Now, is that a good thing? That's a good thing. That's what he came to give us, was days full of good things. That's the abundant life. That was his whole reason for coming, to give us a life like that. Hallelujah. And then 1 John, John recorded there that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Other translations, I think the Amplified Bible says to undo. The works of the devil. Well, one of the big works of the devil in mankind today is sickness. And Jesus undid it. And thank God, you read the Gospels, you record time, it records time after time where he just undid the works of the devil. I mean, there would be somebody, there was a woman that was bowed over. How many years she'd been bowed over? 18 years she was bowed over, and Jesus undid that work in a moment. He was good at undoing the works of the devil. And it must have been the will of the Father to undo the works of the devil. It must have been his will to undo sickness. Hallelujah. Then we know Acts 10:38, he went about doing good, healing all the devil had oppressed. Hallelujah. John 14:9 says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. In other words, if you want to know what the Father looks like, look at me. He was doing the Father's will, doing his business. He was representing the Father. I heard a little story about a little boy. He was at school. He was sitting at his desk. He was drawing a picture, and his teacher came over and said, son, what are you doing? And he said, I'm drawing a picture of God. And she looked at him and said, son, no one knows what God looks like. And he says, they will after they see my picture. Well, Jesus drew a picture of the Father. He was showing us what the Father looked like. So if you want to know what the Father looks like, you want to know what the Father would do if he were here. You know why we're saying, what would Jesus do? Well, he would do what he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, what would the Father do? The Father would do what Jesus did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because he was here doing the Father's business, an expression of the Father, fulfilling the Father's will. That's who Jesus was. He was drawing us a picture of the Father. Now, let me ask you this. Shouldn't you be drawing pictures of the Father for people? Shouldn't people be able to look at you and say, I've seen the Father? Well, they should, but that's another message we won't get into tonight. Hallelujah. Now, Luke chapter 4. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 4. This is when Jesus announced his ministry. It was a big day. I almost got pushed off the cliff, but it was a wonderful, illustrious beginning to his ministry. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Well, verse 17. And he, Jesus, was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now this is what God anointed Jesus or empowered Jesus or enabled Jesus to do. This is the reason the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus, was so that he could do these things. It includes healing. You notice it includes healing. It includes people that are oppressed being free. It includes people whose hearts have been broken, that they would be binded back together. That really speaks of people's emotional well-being. You ever met any brokenhearted people? Maybe you at one time were brokenhearted, and Jesus can bind the anointing that was on him. Well, it's still here today. It's still on his body today, and it can bind your heart back together. But part of it includes physical healing. Recovery of sight to the blind, that's pretty good. In terms of, on a scale of 1 to 10, recovery of sight to the blind is pretty close to a 10, would you? Hangnail being 1. You know, making a bruise go away, maybe that's a 1 or a 2. Recovery of sight to the blind is pretty big. Blind eyes opening, that's pretty big. It's all easy to him. The same power that makes the bruise go away also opens the blind eyes. But it includes what he was empowered to do, included physical healing. Now, you could say, well, it doesn't really say that. Well, read the rest of the four Gospels and see what he was empowered to do. He went about and he healed everything. The Bible says he healed all, every sickness, every disease that was there. So whatever it was people had that they were sick with, he healed that. You know, it was maybe small things, and obviously it was big things as well. One thing is this, you know, you and me have the benefit of medical science. There are things, a lot of us in this room, if not for medical science, a lot of us in this room wouldn't be here today. I know when I had my first child, the doctor told me later, if you'd had this child 50 years ago, you wouldn't be here this morning. Because just advances in medical science. So you just think about how many of us have had polio vaccines. Thank God for the advances in medical science. Some of us wouldn't be here. One thing or another, antibiotics have saved some of us. You just think about the things that medical science advances have done to even help us get this far to be here this day. But I want to tell you, in the day of Jesus, they didn't have what we have medically to help them. So there were people there that were sicker. Probably among the people, a greater percentage of them had sickness than they would today. Just in a crowd, a greater percentage of them was sick. I mean, you think about it. And as far as like just malformities in bodies, I mean, they can do surgery now and fix all kinds of stuff. But then they had little to nothing to go on. Y'all remember the woman with issue of blood over in Mark 5? She spent everything she had on doctors and they couldn't help her at all. Probably what she had today, a doctor could cure. But in that day, she spent everything she had and still she wasn't well. So there were some sick folks that were on the streets when Jesus passed them by and healed them. A lot of sick people in his meetings. Jesus healed them all. All right. If it was not God's will and his nature to heal, then why on earth would he empower Jesus to heal? If it wasn't his nature. Well, it was his nature and it was his will. Now in Luke chapter 4, we're right there in verse 40. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many crying and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he rebuked them saying, you know, anyone's going to tell what he said. I want you to see verse 40 there. He laid his hands on people who were sick with all kinds of things and he healed them. How did he do it? He did it because he was anointed by the Holy Ghost, empowered by the Father, really, by his Spirit, to do it. And then over in Luke chapter 6, verse 17, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with the crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Where did that power come from? It came from the Father by way of the Spirit. Upon the Son Jesus, he was empowered to heal. Would God have sent the healing power if it was not his will for these people to be well? Would he? No, he wouldn't have. It was his will for them to be well. Now, Jesus, if you read through the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus was famous for miracles. Yeah, people loved to hear him teach, but the reason they thronged him was for the miracles. They wanted to be well, and they knew he was the well they could dip healing out of. And so he was famous for it. Now, healing was not just God showing off. People sometimes think that healing in the ministry of Jesus was just God's way of proving that this was the Son of God. That somehow or another, God was showing off. But that makes no sense to me. God doesn't need to show off. I mean, God is the creator of the universe. Fixing a body is like no big deal to him. Healing a blind eye should be no big deal to the guy who invented the eye. Healing wasn't just God showing off. It makes some sense to me that the whole purpose of Jesus healing people was just some vindication, just to show how big and mighty God is. No, it was because God wanted those people well. He wanted them healed. He wanted them whole in their bodies. The healing nature of Jesus was an expression of God's desire for man to be healed, for man to be well, for man to be whole. Now, Jesus worked great miracles while he was here on the earth. And over in Mark chapter 2, he healed a paralyzed man. Remember the man that was let down through the roof? He was healed, a paralytic man. Maybe a man who'd suffered a stroke and was, part of his body was paralyzed. I don't think he was in a car accident. They didn't have cars then. But for some reason, this man was paralyzed. And he was healed. And then in Mark 5, he raised the dead. That's a pretty good miracle, isn't it? He healed a deaf mute in Mark 7, and in Mark 8, he opened blind eyes. I mean, these are just a few of them. What I did is I just went through Mark and just wrote down some miracles Jesus did, you know, here and there. There are many miracles Jesus performed. And then we know from Luke that there are many more miracles that they didn't have, you know, didn't take time to write them all down. He said if we did write them down, all the books in the whole world couldn't contain the stories, the testimonies of what God did through Jesus. The healing power that was released through him and hurt people. Now just say again, it's God's will for me to be healed today. Y'all believe that? Okay. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus commissioned his followers to go into all the world preaching the good news. Let's just flip over there and see it. I know we've read that even recently here in one of our classes. Now, as you read through the Gospels and you find where Jesus healed someone, he delivered somebody, he released his healing power on behalf of someone, anything that he did for any of those people in the Gospels, you just keep in mind, he'll do the same thing for you. He'll do the same thing for you. Remember, every one of those people he laid his hands on and they were healed. Every one of those people that he rebuked anything off of them and it left. Every one of those people were unregenerated people. They were not born again. Every one of them was still, had the sin nature in them. Not one of them was born again. Now, are you born again? Every one of them were operating under the old covenant. Do you have a new covenant? Anything he did for any of them, he'll do for you. And he'll do it for you today. Not one day, somehow, some way, but today. He commissioned his followers over in John 16. He said in verse 15, go into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Actually, he who does not believe is already condemned. John 3 says that. So we're not condemning people. They don't believe. They're already condemned. Verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick people, will recover. Y'all see that? So suddenly, this thing's no longer just Jesus manifesting the will of the Father. He's commissioned others to manifest the will of the Father, to let go in his name and do the will of the Father. You take the power that was upon me, go in my name, and do what I've been doing. See, God wanted people well and whole. It was his will for people to be healed. So he said, Jesus is leaving. I got to have some healing power in the earth. I'll just commission all those who followed him to do it. And they'll pass it on and pass it on. And they've passed it on until you and me got it. And now we have that same healing power. It's good for us and it's good for others. Hallelujah. He instructed us to lay hands on the sick in his name. And he promised that the sick would recover. Just note here, verse 20, and they went out, not Jesus, but his followers, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. They had the same results that Jesus had. The same healing power flowed into people. Now, the ministry of healing continued in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3 is a record. Well, we'll just turn over there. Acts chapter 3. This is the first recorded miracle in the book of Acts of healing. Chapter 3, verse 1, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, this man was born lame. He was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms. He was a beggar from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes upon him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them, but he got more than what he was expecting. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Yeah, I want y'all to see here, this man praised God because he was healed. He praised God because he was healed. He didn't praise God because he'd been sick all those years. He praised God because he was healed. Healing causes people to praise God. If you've ever been healed, you'll know that. You'll figure that one out. Healing makes you say, glory to God, I'm so glad I'm not sick anymore. But the healing ministry did not end with Jesus. Some people think, well, when Jesus quit, you know, when he left, it all stopped. No, it continued on in the book of Acts. But, you know, we read about the people in the book of Acts and people say, yeah, but they were with Christ. They knew him. They just walked with him. And so, you know, just what was on him rubbed off on them. And then so it just lasted a little while longer and then it stopped. Where does it say it stopped? Find me that scripture that said, when the last apostle died, it all vanished. Does it say it? It doesn't say it. That's just some made up gimmick the devil came up with to steal our healing from us. It never says that. It never says, oh, at the final breath of the last apostle, it was all gone. No, you know, Paul was never with Jesus. And there were miracles in his ministry. I'm going to read that in a minute. Paul didn't know Jesus personally. But it went on to him. But does it say, well, then when Paul died, that's when it all stopped. I mean, just when was this that it stopped? Have y'all ever heard preachers and people say, well, that's all passed away? I mean, this is like a big tradition in churches in America. Healing has passed away. What day did it pass away? Give me the date. Give me the time. Tell me where were you when healing passed away? It hadn't passed away, and it's not going to pass away. Why? Because it is God's will for you to be well. He's always provided healing for his people. People in the Old Testament were healed. People in the ministry of Jesus were healed. God still heals today. Healing is still going on. It's still his will to heal. That almost rhymed. It is still his will to heal. No, heal. Okay. If you talk like me, it rhymes. Okay. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Just say, it's God's will for me to be healed today. All right. Now, chapter 5. I want you to see this. Verse 12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. That sounds like a verse that should be in the Gospels, doesn't it? Many signs and wonders, that sounds like a Jesus verse. Well, it is a Jesus verse because this is his body doing his work. Hallelujah. Thank God. And then it says down in, well, let's see, verse 14, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. That sounds like something they would do with Jesus, doesn't it? And this is Peter. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. That sounds like a Jesus scripture. That's because it is a Jesus scripture. It was his body doing his work in his name, empowered with the same spirit that empowered him. They were all healed. Praise God. Now let's look on down chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then let's look in chapter 9. Verse 32, now it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country that he also came down to the saints who dwelt at Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas who was bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Hallelujah. He had been paralyzed for 8 years, and Peter said, Jesus, what did he say to him? He said, Jesus, the Christ heals you. How could Jesus heal him? Jesus healed him because he was there. I thought Jesus ascended over Mark 16. He did. He was still there. He was there in Peter. Peter was there in his name, empowered by the same spirit, doing the same works, manifesting the Father in the same way Jesus did. All right, chapter 14. See, I just want you to see it didn't end in the four Gospels. It went on in the book of Acts. Chapter 14, verse 8. Now, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Here's another man healed. And this time, like I said, Paul was the instrument God used for the healing power to flow through. Paul wasn't with Jesus in the flesh. Paul was like you and me. He read about him or he heard about him, but he didn't know him personally in the flesh. And then Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. I'd like to have some video footage of that. I want to see these unusual miracles because there's a lot of miracles the Bible records that they don't call those unusual miracles. I mean, today we'd say a man that had crippled feet from his mother's womb getting up, leaping and making his bed up, we'd call that an unusual miracle. But it says here, Paul worked unusual miracles. I'm not sure what they were. I want to see them. I'm going to ask Paul, explain to me just what that was. What was an unusual miracle you did? But you know, we're about to see, and Paul's going to come up to us and say, tell us, tell me about the unusual miracles that y'all worked in the last days. The days of unusual miracles are not over. As long as the body is here, Jesus is healing. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. Hallelujah. Healed by a hanky. Hallelujah. Now, just going to finish up real quick. Right here. It's true. Y'all ever been? I'll just take a minute here and note, you ever been in a meeting? And there's a lot of cloths up on the platform and wondered what they were there for. The reason they're there is because of this scripture. The cloth, fabric, will conduct the anointing, and someone can lay their hands like Paul did here. They were maybe his clothes, or maybe cloths he just laid his hands on. Maybe he used his hanky to wipe his brow when he was sweating. And they took that to a sick person and laid it on them, and that anointing that was on Paul when he was ministering was carried, transferred through that cloth into those sick people, and the sickness and disease left them. And that works. It works that way. The cloth will conduct that, the anointing. Okay? God is still healing today. There is no record in the New Testament of healing passing away or ending at any time. Now let me ask you, who in here tonight has ever been healed by the power of God? I want you to look around. Look around at the people that have been healed by the power of God. All right? Those people are a testimony that healing power hadn't passed away. Now, you might say, well, those people are delusional. Well, some of them are. But now that I see who these people are, some of them are. But all of them are not delusional. How many of you just made it up that you were healed when you raised your hand? Raise your hand. Be honest. If you made it up and you were lying just so you could raise your hand, say you were healed and look like everybody else, tell me. All right. Nobody. If you can't trust these people, who can you trust? You're in covenant with these people. These people just sitting here by you are testimony that healing hasn't passed away. And I'm going to tell you, if only one of us here tonight raised our hand and said we'd experienced the healing power of God, even if just one of us had that testimony, the truth is that every one of us would be entitled to it. If he ever did it for Terry, if he ever did it for Kelly or Terry or Tony or Lamar, Red, James, George, if he ever did it for any of us, I'm sorry, I don't mean to do that, but if he ever did it for any one of us, he has to do it for every one of us. Or else he's playing favorites. And God doesn't play favorites. So if nothing else, you can say, hey, must be his will for me, did it for them. Now, how many of you, let me just ask you this, how many of you were healed, received your healing because you were so good that you deserved to be healed? How many of you were healed just because you're so good, you deserved it? Not one of us. Now, we were all healed just because he's so good enough. He's so wonderful that he just healed us because he loves us. How many of you were so good he saved you? If it was ever God's will to heal, and it was, it is still his will to heal now. Malachi 3, God made a big statement. For I am the Lord, I do not change. It's not my will for man to be well in the beginning, but it's not, you know, but then I'm going to change and then it's not going to be my will. No, it's always his will. Every person who was ever sick, it was God's will for them to be healed. But we found out last month, just because it's God's will doesn't mean it happens. Jesus is the same today as he was in Bible days. Hebrews 13:8. I'm just going to turn over there and read that to you. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same, the very same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is still in the healing business today. If you can find record this is a really easy way to be healed. Take this verse, Hebrews 13:8. This is the shortcut to healing. Write down this, Hebrews 13:8. So take Hebrews 13:8. And then go to the Gospels and find one of the many healings or miracles. And read, go pray, Go and just, you know, say, God, listen to me a minute. We'll read you something out of your book. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then over here, there was a woman who had an issue of blood, 12 years, none the better, grew, you know, she got worse, spent all her money, but she came in the press behind. She grabbed hold of the hem of the garment. He didn't even lay his hand on her. Hem of the garment. She came and grabbed, and he didn't even know that she was coming. She just grabbed hold of him, got the power. Okay. On the basis of Hebrews 13:8, on the basis of the woman with the issue of blood, and I can read you a couple more, God, if I need to, I'm receiving my healing right now. And I'm getting out of my bed and I'm walking. See, that's the shortcut, quickie method to healing. Now, some of you are going to need the longer method. We'll do that next week. But you can get healed right there. I'm telling you, it doesn't take a lot to get healed. You just got to know it's God's will. You got to know it's God's will now. In later classes, we're going to deal with some traditions that that Christians have come up with, have formulated to keep themselves from being healed. Really, the devil instituted them, and Christians were foolish enough to be deceived by them and buy into them. So we're going to deal with those in a class called Why Christians Are Sick. Because after tonight, you hear a message like this, and then you go home and you think of all the sick people you know that are born again. And you think, well, that ought not be so. And you're right. It ought not be so. But we're going to explain in a few weeks why it is so. But just because it is so doesn't mean it ought to be so. Praise God. Father, we thank you tonight for your word on healing. Thank you that we can see plainly that healing's your will. Jesus provided it for us at Calvary, that he demonstrated it to us in his ministry. Thank you that it didn't end with Jesus. It didn't end with the apostles. It hadn't died out on a certain day in a certain place at a certain time, but it's still available today in its fullness for every one of us. Hallelujah. We thank you for that. And we thank you, Father, that in these next days and these next weeks, throughout this month, that the revelation concerning your healing, our covenant of healing, is going to grow within each of us, and we're going to be strengthened in it. We're going to leave sickness and disease in the past. And we're going forward into a future filled with health and healing and wholeness and wellness in every part of our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.